Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Heart to Health Talk. I'm Sheng Hao.
And I'm Zi Xing. Previously, we spoke to Samuel and Elmer about masculinity and discussed skincare, height, and boys' schools. Today, we delve deeper and tackle how NS, among other things, shapes the expectation of men.
Since we're on the topic about guys' locker room and guys hanging out together, I think the biggest culprit we could say is NS. So let's just shift to NS, where it's almost all guys. It's quite interesting because does NS perpetuate a very toxic perspective of masculinity?
Yes, I think so, yes.
In what ways?
In the sense that you have to take what's given to you, that I think it's a very masculine trait, and if you don't, then you're not a man. For example, you undergo a lot of physical hardship, like field camp, physical training, PT, going for range. If you can't take it, especially for field camp, I've heard that for the past fit people, that was a really trying experience. And if you can't take it, then you're not a man. If you cry, you fall out, you're not a man.
I resonate with what Samuel said. I think the whole idea of NS, especially towards our citizens, is that going as a boy, you come out as man. That is the tagline when you talk about NS. The idea that a boy can become a man through NS, I think is kind of toxic in itself, because how can you define what it means to be a man? How can you sort of simplify it, just this 2 years experience by going out in the jungle and becoming a soldier? How can you just say that, oh, congratulations, you've completed it, you're now a man? Just doesn't work in that way. Because I was a combat fit soldier, I went through the physical hardships that Samuel was saying. So the fact that a lot of people expect you to be able to complete all these physical challenges that your instructors may throw at you, and they propagate very masculine traits that were forced upon you during this kind of training. Like, oh my god, my grandmother can run faster than you, kind of thing, which is very popular. And I think this kind of stuff talks a lot about the NX experience, because as a combat fit soldier, my experience is that sometimes whenever I go over and talk to some friends, they will all say, oh my god, the PES C people have it so easy. They just go into the office and blow aircon. They feel that they are inferior towards them in terms of masculinity just because they are graded medically unfit for being in a combat role. Being in a combat role gives them this form of pride that I'm masculine. I'm able to fight wars. I think by having this kind of difference in roles where one man can be a combatant and the other man can support gives rise to this difference in masculinity.
I guess the point about my grandmother can run faster than you or don't be kunyang, that kind of thing. When things like that are said, I think there's also this, I'm not just talking about being more aggressive or being more resistant to pain, but also there's this thing about not showing weakness. In the sense that showing weakness is not being masculine. Talking about being a man, I started to talk of the song from Mulan, Be a Man. Actually, it's quite interesting because they were training to be soldiers, which is kind of similar, but the character Mulan is not biologically male. It seems like showing pain or being expressive in this sense, do you think that it's being perceived as a weakness for men?
I think for a guy, you're not expected to show weakness. Just because you're meant to be on the forefront of things, you're just able to take whatever is being thrown at you, you're able to adapt, you're expected to do everything perfectly. I would say that these kind of expectations are almost reversed when it comes to a female in the traditional sense. When you talk to a female, expected to help her because she is perceived to be weaker, she's perceived to not be able to do roles or jobs that men are expected to do. So in this case, showing weakness just because of this social construct that guys are meant to be strong, showing weakness becomes detriment to your masculinity. So I think the showing weakness part is kind of the embodiment of toxic masculinity. We should not expect guys to be always 100% strong. Sometimes guys can break down too, and we still can exhibit traits that seem to be feminine. And I think we should not speak of these traits in a gender manner. These traits are what humans exhibit. Humans feel weak. I think what we can do is do away with the social constructs of masculinity and femininity, and rather embrace this traits as human traits that we can all possess.
Interestingly, we were talking about showing weakness in terms of physical weakness, but then Elmer brought up a different side of it as well, showing emotional weakness, emotional vulnerability. If I can ask either of you, and maybe Zi Xing if you want to answer as well, when was the last time you cried? I guess I can start. My most recent one was actually when I watched a movie. I watched some coming-of-age drama, you know, guy and girl kind of thing. The guy went to jail. It was a Chinese film, but anyway, the ending was quite touching, and I cried watching the ending.
I think it was 2016 or 2015. I cried in the cinema, and after that I was very emo for the whole day. 15-year-old me was like, oh my god, this is the best film ever.
Actually, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure this will bring the mood down, but actually I came back from Japan because of a family emergency. My dad had a stroke, a really bad one. The most recent time when I cried was when I first went to the hospital after my SHN, just seeing him on the bed. He wasn't responsive at that point, so I was talking to him as if he were there listening to me, and just seeing him there just made me cry. Yeah, that was the last time I cried. But it's okay, now it's a lot better.
Perhaps I can go next. Personally, I'm very shocked that Elmer saying that the last time he cried was 6 years ago. For me, I'm someone that I would say I like to cry. I enjoy the feeling of crying because I feel it's cathartic, especially when you're feeling a lot of stress or feeling a lot of emotions and you just want to let it out. Crying has this very therapeutic effect on me to calm me down a little. So whenever I watch shows or dramas or even listen to a sad song, I will cry because I'll be like, you know what, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel these feelings. It makes you a little bit more human to understand this emotion. But from Elmer's experience, I do actually have some friends who don't cry. I had this one friend and the last time he cried was 10 years ago kind of thing when his grandmother passed away, unfortunately. And from then, he really never cried. And I was so confused because he was someone that was okay with sharing his feelings, but he just could not cry. Certainly, there is this idea of emotional vulnerability that's attached to crying. But why is it not something that is more accepted among guys?
I think showing emotion is pretty much a very feminine trait. So by extension, also crying, which is pretty much showing your emotions physically, becomes when you cry, you are displaying feminine traits. Especially crying in public, a lot of guys will be quite averse to it. I think in private, I would say that it's a lot more possible. But I think the fact that if a guy cries, some of them might find that it wounds their pride. There's some ego in play here, where if I cry, it means that I'm weak. It means that I'm vulnerable, and I should not be doing this because I'm a guy.
That's really quite sad. Because of society expectations, it even affects you when you're alone and in your own personal space. It affects how you are acting with yourself and how your ego is affected by you crying by yourself. The statistics also show where men actually have higher rates of depression than women. And I think in Japan, men commit suicide more often than women. It's quite scary how this idea of men typically not supposed to have emotional vulnerability leading to actual physical symptoms.
Japan is a very interesting case because from what I know about Japan, it's a more male-dominated society. I think compared to ours, their notion of traditional gender roles are probably a lot stronger there.
In my experience, all the people in leadership roles were men. So my supervisor was a man. His boss was a man. His boss's boss was a man. All the schools I worked in, all the principals and vice principals were all men. And very interestingly, as I was leaving, so I left in a hurry. So I had 4 hours to pack and basically almost no one knew that I was going, except for my supervisor and like another friend. They went to drive me off at the airport. As we were arriving, my supervisor said, you know, we're Japanese men, so we're not going to cry when we send you off. And then they cried. It really is very pervasive, those sort of gender roles. My supervisor, although he is single, he was telling me in another occasion that he wants to get married. I asked why. He said, because if you don't get married, people won't take you seriously. It's as if you weren't taking life seriously. You were not doing things properly. Maybe I had to keep in mind that this was countryside Japan. I was in a very rural town. Maybe it's different if you were, let's say, in Tokyo or Osaka, where it's a bit more progressive. But in such a situation where you're not taken seriously, if you don't have your life together, you're getting married, having children, and earning money as the man, then you're not really taken seriously by many people.
So this is tied to marriage as an achievement, is it?
Yeah, how you are perceived socially. If you are married and settled down with a family, then you are considered complete. You are taking life seriously and you're doing things and you are steadily progressing in life. That's what he shared with me. Although he's single, then I asked him, who do you want to marry? And I was like, I don't know, just someone.
I would think that that is a more outdated kind of thinking. And right now, there are more and more women that are joining the workforce and are taking up leadership roles. As Elmer mentioned, women taking up C-suite roles, right? Why is it still so hard to change this idea that as a guy, you should be having all these achievements to be considered stable?
I was thinking if we start from a smaller scale, let's not just look at society as a whole, but let's say a group of guy friends, bros. If one of them is upset, going through troubles in their life, and they decide to take that step to be vulnerable and to share with you, I feel like sometimes guys don't know really how to react. In a way that sometimes you'll just say, wow, shag ah, bro. That's the standard answer, right? Wow, shag. They just pat their back or, you know, don't worry, we go get a beer. It's kind of like a very standard like way of dealing with things. But then if you think a bit more about it, it's not exactly the healthiest way of dealing with it. It's just delaying it or putting it off. And I think that that could be the groundwork that we can do to change it in a way that being more willing to take that step to be vulnerable with others, to share your experiences with others. But at the same time, I guess it's not that easy to just respond in a way that is suitable for both you and the person who's hearing. For example, the "wah shag bro" response is very non-committed. It's like, I sympathize with you, but I don't know what to say. I feel like it doesn't really solve the issue. Maybe because of all the things that we just talk about, things like being inexpressive or not appearing to be traditionally feminine, all those other traits pile up in a way that it already makes it difficult for you to respond when your guy friend, for example, is saying things like that to you. Do you feel like that's something that you face as well, or that you've seen your friends face?
Yeah, I experienced that when my friends come to me wanting to talk about a problem, and I would listen, but a lot of the times I don't really know what to say, or I don't really know how to respond to make them feel better. That may be because of the problem itself. I'm not in a position to help, but at the same time, I also feel slightly pressured to say something, but I don't really know what to say at the same time.
It's quite hard for guys to open up with each other, even though it's considered a safer space. I think for guys, talking about their vulnerabilities is quite difficult because, number one, it hurts your ego a little bit for some because they perceive that as weakness. I think guys also kind of know that whatever they say will be met with, wow, shag bro, response. So essentially, you're just ranting and nothing will be done and we'll just go get drinks. There's also the sort of feeling that your issue won't get resolved if you talk to guys in that manner. And there's a certain expectation on not just society, but you personally as a guy also wanting to solve the problem yourself because you're a guy. There's this pressure to perform. There's this pressure to solve the issue on your own.
I think I read this somewhere that even when you are opening up to somebody, one way that you can look at it is that beforehand you can tell them what you are looking for, in the sense that sometimes you just want a listening ear. You don't really need somebody's advice or opinion. Like you said, maybe you just need to rant or you just need to get it out of your system. But it doesn't mean that you are necessarily seeking advice. So that could be one of it. And the other one could be just that you genuinely need help or you want to seek your close friend's advice on what to do in this situation. So when it comes to it, communication is still important in a way that the what shack bro is like the just want somebody there to listen to me. And that's okay also. But on the other hand, if you're really looking for advice or help, then you can also communicate it to them beforehand or maybe even after you say it, so that even if they are not entirely sure what to say, they can still give you their opinion instead of just what shack bro, which is not what you're looking for.
I kind of experienced this phrase of the wah, shag bro. I have this group of friends that's mostly guys, 6 guys and me and this other girl. So it's an interesting dynamic because when it's mostly the guys, when someone starts talking about a problem, someone will be like, wah, shag bro. And then the conversation will stop there. Although, I guess on one hand, like Sheng Hao mentioned, you can communicate to the other person that what you're expecting is this. But as Elmer mentioned, sometimes as a guy, you might feel that there is this expectation that you should be able to solve your own problems. And I feel like on the other hand, the other guy friend who replied with the, wow, shag bro, didn't know how to engage with these emotions. One thing I learned from reading about how to talk to people who are experiencing things or how to have more meaningful conversations with people is to ask them to elaborate more on their feelings, on why they feel certain way. Because sometimes when you find someone to talk to or when you expose your emotions, it's not necessarily just for a ranting session and it's not necessarily to find a solution. But sometimes you want the emotional fulfillment of having this conversation with someone and processing what your emotions mean. Why are you feeling these emotions and how could you address these emotions? So you don't necessarily solve the problem and you're not providing a solution. It's more of just looking at emotions and knowing how to deal with them. I think that's something that perhaps because of the way that guys and other guy friends are brought up, there's this idea that you don't really know how to engage or deal with these emotions because you've been expected for so long to not show these emotions. But given all these and given that now we are going into adulthood or already adults, do you feel that this is something that you are able to change or that you want your friends to have a change in this perspective? Because from what we've discussed so far, I feel like there seems to be a lot of negative aspects to the idea of expecting masculinity from people, from all these mental health issues to your inability to interact with the female species.
I think that now that we are in adulthood, it is probably a lot more difficult to talk about your feelings because a lot of issues that you experience in your life might be a little private for you to say to someone else about it. And there's also airing your dirty laundry in public feeling whenever you talk to people about your issues. I guess when we get older, there's a lot more pride in being an adult. There's this pride that now that you're an adult, you are able to settle your own affairs. It's not just the male. I think as a female as well, for both genders, you're expected as an adult to solve your own issues and be able to handle your own affairs, whatever it may be. You're working, you're able to feed yourself, you might want to start a family. When you are talking about your issues with other people, there might be a certain feeling of aversion because you're talking to a third party or an outsider about your issues. So there's this sense of incompetence when you can't even solve your own issues. how are you able to then start a family and cater for a family kind of thing.
Thinking about how to change this idea of conventional masculinity in my friend groups, I think it's very hard to change someone's mind by now. I mean, it's possible, but when you ask them, why do you think this? Why do you have these expectations? I guess, first of all, it's a very deep conversation to have, and I would do it only with closer friends. And secondly, even after they probe these associations, they may not be ready to open up into a broader view of what masculinity is and why the expectations are as such. Personally, I feel that this is to do with how people are brought up from a very young age. If I were to talk about Japan again, maybe part of the reason why, may not be the main reason, there's such a strong dichotomy of male-female gender roles, maybe to do with popular media. So I was watching Demon Slayer, and in one of the starting episodes, Tanjiro is training to be a Demon Slayer, and then a boy appears to him and says, if you can't even do this, you're not a man, so stand up and fight. Just having come from elementary schools and junior high schools, every single child in Japan has watched Demon Slayer, and these sort of implied values and implied ideas are embedded in these popular media that they consume. Demon Slayer is just one example. I think it's tough by the time we adults that we can change our own worldview. That may be challenging for someone. For me, definitely, if someone tries to convince me otherwise, I'll be what about this way? I'm still comfortable with thinking about what I believe is true. I think by adulthood, it's hard, but still possible to change someone's worldview.
Speaking of what Samuel and Elmer responded to just now on how as we grow into adults, our pride and our ideas of lives are much more solidified, and therefore it'll be pretty hard to change certain worldviews that you have or certain expectations that you have. On the other hand, I feel that it's also this idea of you can now be more cognizant of what you're thinking, and you can now choose to be more introspective. For example, among my dad group of guy friends, I feel that while it doesn't happen overnight, this idea of, you know, you should change your mindset, and then right there and then they change their mindset, it's just more of true the daily conversations that you have and the daily thinkings that you have. Perhaps when you approach someone and you're thinking of being emotionally vulnerable, at this point in time, it is difficult to unlearn these negative elements. Would you say that it's impossible for us to change these expectations of masculinities?
You can change yourself and your own perception, but that alone is not enough. Even if you are comfortable with yourself, you have this, I suppose, healthier notion of what masculinity should be like, if your bros around you are still within this dichotomy, it really makes it so that you are like the odd one out. Let's say in the friend group, you can't just call out everybody. I think that most people, myself included, probably wouldn't have the courage to do that, to call out everybody and just say that you guys are all wrong and risk your friendship. So it's not really just so simple as you change yourself and then everything just magically changes. All of you mentioned as well, it's really a gradual and very slow process, but then I suppose we can start from ourselves and then we move on to our circle of friends.
I think talking to friends, that's important, but also maybe we could live out that sort of different masculinity or not be ashamed of being more vulnerable, not be ashamed of being more emotional, although that group of bro friends may not be particularly receptive to that sort of display of emotion. But I guess maybe the only way to normalize it is if you start to show that there's not just one idea of being a man, but there are many other different kinds of ways to be a man.
I think that the definition of what it means to be a man is very vague. It's a social construct. It's ever-changing. So I think when we want to eradicate this kind of toxic masculinity, I think what we can do is, firstly, you should eradicate any form of gender concepts when you are talking about certain behaviors. For example, men should not cry. You can eradicate the male here and say that everyone should not cry. So when you remove gender from certain associated behavior, we can slowly eradicate this kind of toxic gender binary thoughts. I think that is a good first step and a very easy way to shape what you think about certain behaviors.
Yes, I fully agree. It makes a lot of sense that the way that we speak affects how we act. All these small changes could help possibly eradicate toxic masculinity.
With that very helpful tidbit of advice that Elmer gave, it was a very insightful and great discussion with all of you guys. Thank you so much for sharing.
Before we conclude, at the end of every episode, we usually ask our guests some rapid-fire questions. In one line, what does health mean to you?
I think, first and foremost, it's physical well-being, but yet at the same time, it's also being comfortable with yourself emotionally, psychologically, which encompasses both physiological and psychological well-being.
I think Samuel already talked about the bulk of it. I think what embodies it would be just to be content and happy with your current state of life.
Alright, the next question is, what is one bad health habit that you want to get rid of?
I think tying into the concept of masculinity, whenever we have a boys' night out, we always drink alcohol. And it's something that I want to eradicate, but over the years, it has become almost a natural thing whenever we go out, food plus alcohol. And it's kind of bad for my liver, honestly. I can kind of feel the effects already. My recent health exam was not very good on the liver front. So I think that is one bad health habit that I kind of want to cut, or at least reduce in the near future.
For me, it's too much sugar. I was so surprised when I found out not too long ago that the recommended daily intake of sugar is 30 grams or something like that. And then I see a Milo packet, something like 17 grams or something. My favorite combination is Milo packet and Kinder Bueno. That exceeds the recommended daily intake of sugar by itself. That's it.
I totally empathize with you because I like to eat desserts. The last question is, what is one health habit that you would swear by?
For me, exercising regularly. Pretend that I didn't consume all the calories that I just did.
For me, also something very similar to Samuel. Something that I've taken to recently is stretching or calisthenics. Basically, I tend to do stretching in the morning. There's this beginner routine on RSH calisthenics. I feel that it makes my body a little bit more agile. I don't feel the kind of tightness that I feel after sitting in the front of my computer for several hours a day.
Yeah, that's something that I probably would try out too. I think we spend too much time in front of our laptops.
Yeah, because it's so stationary.
Speaking of sitting the laptop for too long, I think that's what we are doing. So let's wrap this up and I think everybody can go for a good stretch. Thank you guys so much for coming and joining us. I hope that both of you enjoyed this discussion as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I guess speaking from a guy's perspective and talking over it with Elmer and Samuel as well, it seems like as guys, maybe we should do less of the shack bro and maybe be more willing to open ourselves up and talk about vulnerabilities to each other. I think it's interesting because as we discussed, there's all these different influences that's affecting how we view ourselves as well as, for example, how we interact with others. And I think that this goes for both genders. So maybe we can start off by taking baby steps with ourselves. If we are able to change our own mindset and tell ourselves that it's okay to cry, it's okay to share my emotional vulnerabilities to my friends and things like that, I think it's possible for us to create a more healthy concept of what masculinity is.
I fully agree. I think on the other side, which is girls and everyone who is not of the male gender, I think we're also part of the problem when we impose these expectations of masculinity on men. Like what Elmer mentioned, perhaps you can stop thinking about certain traits as belonging to a certain gender, but instead understand that they are traits and they are neutral, and any one of these genders could have these traits. And if you want to find out more about men's health or hear about similar experiences, follow us at our social media platforms at Heart to Health Talk. That's at Heart to Health Talk, where additional resources and nuggets of wisdom can be found. Hope to catch you in our next episode.